So tonight we're going to be looking at the place of honor in kingdom prosperity, honoring God precisely, the place of honoring God in kingdom prosperity. And it's very important, first of all, that we define what honor is, because honor has become one of the most abused words in the body of Christ today. Ooh, I honor you, sir. Ooh, I honor you, sir. You know, there's that word has been really abused. But we're going to be looking at honor within a scriptural context tonight, and we trust God to help us. Really trust God to help us. So let's start our Bible reading tonight from 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. It says, Therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So this is the first principle we need to have in mind. God will honor those that honor him. Those that despise him, he will also despise. It's as simple as that. So if you want to enjoy honor from God, number one thing to consider is that you have to honor God as well. God is saying this is direct, okay? This is there are not so many things that are that direct in the Bible. He's saying, if you sow honor towards me, you will reap honor from me. Simple as that. Simple as that. Now let's take a look at another scripture. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Let's see how we honor God. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions. The Authorized King James Version says, with your substance. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. And what happens as a result of honoring God with your possessions? So your barns will be filled with plenty. So as you honor him, he honors you. As you honor him with your possession, as you give to him of your substance, he also gives to you. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Simple, straightforward principle. Honor the Lord with your substance. In return, God will honor you with his substance. Okay? We honor God, he honors us. You honor him with your substance, he honors you with his substance. Okay? Let's take a look at one other scripture. Malachi chapter 1 from verse 6. Malachi chapter 1 from verse 6. Okay, let me go to the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation says, the Lord of Heaven's armies says to the priests, a son honors his father, and a servant respects his master. The Authorized King James Version says, a son honoreth his father, a servant feareth his master. If I am your father and master, where are the honor and respect I deserve? Now let me read from the Authorized King James Version. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Now take note. God goes on to say, when he said, if I be a father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? And God goes on to explain how exactly they have dishonored him. Now take note of this. Verse 7. Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that day, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible, and if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? Now let me go to the New Living Translation. Verse 7 says, you have shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. Then you ask, how have we defiled the sacrifices? You defile them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect. When you give blind animals as sacrifices, isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So God is saying, you have dishonored me and you have despised me by giving offerings that are not of the highest quality. You see, what God is interested in is not just an offering of quantity, it is an offering of quality. What makes it an offering of quality in our context is not just in our context, in every context, what makes it an offering of quality is that you give God what is right and not what is left. Okay, that sounds, yeah, you give God what is right and not what is left. A lot of people give God what is left, not what is right. So we select all the good ones for ourselves. We do the things we need to do. We prioritize ourselves and other things. And then whatever is left, you know, just like the crippled goats and all of that stuff, then we say, ah, Lord, you know, this is what we have. Take it, you know. So it's not always about quantity. It is about the heart of value that goes before the offering. You remember the widow and the mite, all right? She gave what she had, and Jesus said that was all she had, and in the eyes of God, that was more important. Okay, God will never ask us to give what we don't have. Check through the entire Bible. God never asked any man to give that which he did not have. Before God asked Abraham to give Isaac, he gave Abraham Isaac. Okay, God will never ask us to give what we don't have. So if any man of God comes to tell you that, you know, God wants you to bring a seed or an offering of so and so, and it is something you don't have, that is your first cue to know it's not God. Okay, no man of God, even if fire is coming from your head and smoke from your nostrils, you can't come and prophesy to me that the Lord said you should give me $1 million, and then I'll go and start sweating to look for $1 million. I don't have it right now. I don't have it in cash. I have it in my heavenly account, but I don't have it in cash. So I can't give you. God will never ask a man to give. Before God asked the children of Israel to bring gold and fabrics and things like that for the building of the ark and the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness, he made sure that they had it when they were coming out of Egypt. Okay, and I have seen this happen a lot in the body of Christ. A man of God comes, and because he's doing some really spectacular things, he puts people under pressure. Something that money you don't have, they'll say, if you have to go and borrow to come and sow this seed. No, it's not of God. It's not of God. Any seed that you have to borrow to sow is a scam. It is a scam. It is a scam. All right. And I've seen people put under a lot of pressure. Say, you know, I've been in meetings, great men of God, I'm not going to call names, respected men of God, come and say, the Lord said I should raise a seed of $200. Whoever will bring this $200, you know, this and that, and they'll share wonderful testimonies of how they preached this same message and did the same thing in ABC and D places, and this and that testimonies happen, and people get fired up, you know, and they say, you know, sow a seed of $200, sow a seed of this, sow a seed of that. I used to be put under pressure a lot because of those things, like, ha, God, and you feel like, hey, God, I am missing out on an opportunity, like, hey, this kind of anointing, now, if I don't do this thing, now, I don't know when this man of God is going to come again. I don't know when this anointing is going to come my way again. I don't know this. I don't know that. And then we put ourselves under so much pressure. Take a loan, borrow money, do this. Or we feel miserable if we are unable to raise the funds to give this seed. But it's not of God. It doesn't matter who is saying it or who is doing it. It's not of God. God has never asked any man to give something that he had not already given to that man. Even before God asked for our lives, before God asked us to, you know, receive him, he gave us life, right? For you to give your life to Christ, you need to have life first. You know, don't be put under pressure to, that's not how God operates. Before he asks of you, he gives to you. All right, so back to our text, Malachi chapter 1. Well, in Malachi chapter 1 from verse 6 to 7, for those of us who just joined, other texts that we read are 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Okay, so God is saying, you have shown me contempt by giving me offerings that is not of the highest quality. And not the highest quality, God was not rejecting the quality of the offering just because of the state of the offering. But God was rejecting the quality of the offering because of the state of the heart of the people that gave it. Because he knew that they could do better. He knew what he had given to them. He knew their capacity. But they gave God what was left. Like, they've used the good ones and they were giving God what was left and not what was due him. And this was a problem with, to God. So when we talk about honor, I don't want us to just think respect. I don't want us to just think reverence. Honor fundamentally in the Bible, when it says honor the Lord, it's talking about substance. Okay, when it says honor your parents, it's talking about substance. It's not saying respect your parents. It's important to respect your parents. It's not saying greet them every day when you wake up. It's important to greet them every day when you wake up. But when the Bible says children, when it says honor your father and your mother, we're going to read that scripture soon. Okay, when it says honor your father and your mother, it's not talking about just greeting them or being nice to them or respecting them. It's talking about giving to them of your substance. And we're going to see how far, especially the Pentecostal movement, has pushed us from this, because we have tried to use spiritual fathers to replace biological fathers. But there is no place in the Bible for that. There's absolutely no place in the Bible for that. God did not make provision for that. There is no substitution of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 starts with, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then it goes on to say, honor your father and your mother. So it separates them into categories. There are parents in the Lord and there is father and mother. Both of them have their places in the heart of God. You see, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Three ways that we can honor God. Number one is to give him first place in our lives. Give him, make him the priority. So when we are giving an offering, we are not just giving based on, oh, this is what is left. Okay, God, take this one. No, we give him first place in our lives, in our decision making, in our offerings, the time that we spend with him, even in the time we spend with God. A lot of us don't give God what is right. We give him what is left. Okay, we go out, we exhaust ourselves, we spend time gisting, watching movies, do this, do that, and then whatever little time is left, we just say, ah, God, take this one, you know. And we treat God with contempt. We treat him with that kind of attitude. We in making decisions, we don't ask God. We go and ask pastor, we ask parents, we ask brother, we ask friends. Some of us even ask random strangers on social media, hey, this is what's happening in my life, what should I do? Okay, advise me, what should I do? And then when that isn't working out, then suddenly we turn to God. And then we say, God, I am stuck. We only turn to God when we have exhausted our options. But that ought not be the case. It shouldn't be like that. We don't honor God when we act like that. When we consider everything else and everyone else before we turn to God, it doesn't honor God. And a lot of times God in his infinite mercies, you know, he still comes through for us because he loves us. But the reality is it doesn't honor God. Our time, we don't allocate time for God. We don't make time for God. We just give him whatever time is left. Done everything, and then when we are in the shower, we just quickly, hey Lord, in the morning, I'll rise and praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Grace cover me, mercy cover me. Thank you, Lord. Help me in my going out and my coming in. Amen. And then we go exhaust ourselves, and then come back at night and eat and do this and do that and still watch a movie and watch whatever. And then when we hit the bed, we now say, Father, thank you for today. You are a good God, Lord. And that's it. And that's how we treat God. But again, in his love and his infinite mercies, he comes through for us, you see. But the truth is, it doesn't honor God when we treat him like that. In our time, in our lives, in our finances, in our decisions, God wants to be the priority. We need to make God the priority. We need to give him first place in everything that we do. Not only when it's convenient, okay? In everything that we do, in our decision making, not just the tough decisions. God wants to be a part of every decision in our lives. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, in everything you do, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths." In everything you do, God wants to be a part, not just the things that we think are important, not just the things that, oh, this is a hard decision, yes Lord, I need you now, but every other simple decision, I don't care, I'll do it on my own. No, he wants to be a part of everything that we do. Okay, so we honor God, number one, by giving him first place in our lives. And that is why the principle behind tithing is important. Not the act itself, not the 10% itself. I have said this here again and again. As believers, we are not bound by 10%. You will not find a scripture in the New Testament that talks about 10%. You will not find one letter written to the church that talks about 10%. However, the principle behind tithing, honoring God, is still very important. And as a matter of fact, as believers, God expects a lot more from us than 10%. He expects a lot more from us because the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is also required. And God gave us his all. He gave us his best. And so he expects in return our all and our best. So the principle behind tithing, separating a part of your increase and honoring God with it, is an eternal principle that continues even in the sweet by and by. Yes, there's going to be offerings in the millennium. There's going to be offerings. We are going to be giving in the millennium. It doesn't end here because it's a principle that continues forever. Okay, and so honoring God with our substance and taking out of what he has given us and saying, God, this is your own, that is important. You can now decide. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, from verse 6 to 8, it says, you know, let everyone as he has purposed in his heart, even so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So whatever it is you have decided, if you think God is only worth 1% in all that he's given you, good for you. If you think he's only worth 10%, good for you. Okay, there was a time on campus, the first year, I gave 70% of everything that came to me. Everything, 70%. The next year, I gave 90% of everything that came to me for 6 months as a student. So it's doable. And did God bless me? Yes. If not, not that I am telling you now, you wouldn't have known. Even then, only few people knew because it did not show. It's not like the 10% that I had left was enough. But God, you know, there are two ways God can bless you. He can increase your income or he can reduce your expenditure. Or he can decide to do both for you. Increase your income and reduce your expenditure at the same time. Okay? But, you know, not every blessing comes in the form of increase in income. A lot of times it comes in the form of reduction in expenditure. So you were supposed to take a cab somewhere and you get a lift. Okay? You did not get money. You got a lift. That lift was a reduction in your expenditure. It is still God blessing you. All right. Let me run where. Okay, Martin is saying, and I feel God deals with people, how they deal with him, how intimate we go with him is how intimate he goes with us. Just what I think. Yeah, I mean, it's not just what you think. It's a scriptural principle, you know. Just like the scripture we read in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30, that said, they that honor me, I will honor. They that despise me, I will lightly esteem. It's as simple as that. God treats us. He said, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. It's as simple as that. You know, God, he doesn't force himself on people. If you take a step towards him, he will run towards you. But if you start backing away from him, then he's just going to let you go. That's it. All right. So we need to give God first place in our lives, in our decision making, in our offerings, in the time that we spend with him. He is not asking for all of it. He is not even asking for the most of it. He is just saying, honor me with it. Okay? Give me first place. Give me first place. So when we talk about honoring God in our substance, just like the principle of tithe, separating a portion of what God has given to us and honoring him with it, okay? It's the same thing with our time. You have 24 hours in a day. There should be a time, even if it's only 15 minutes. You should tithe your time also. When I say tithe your time, I am not saying you must do 10% of your time. I am just saying that I know tithe means tenth, okay? Literally, it means tenth. But I am using the term tithe in the sense of the principle behind it, of separating, you know. Even, do you know that even in those days, God wanted the people to tithe not just their animals and their food and all of that, but he also expected them to tithe their children. Basically, the first child belonged to the Lord. That's what the Bible says. The child, the one that breaks the matrix, belongs to the Lord. Okay, so God wants first place. God wants to be prioritized in our lives. And so, it mustn't be that, oh, the first 1 hour of my day belongs to God. No, but just take out that time. It can be late at night. But just take out that time and say, God, this is your own. For me and you. It doesn't have to be 3 hours. It doesn't have to be. What is 10% of 24 hours? 2.4 hours, whatever it is. You know, but it doesn't have to be that. But we need to honor God enough for him to know that, okay, this is my own. This is my time. This is okay. I'm sure we got something out of that. So let me move to the next one. The second way we honor God is by seeking his kingdom, by prioritizing his kingdom. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew 6, 33. It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Everything you need. Everything you need. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Okay, verse 32 says, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. However, don't go after your needs, go after the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. And this remains a scriptural principle forever. You see, when we hear people like Bishop Oedipo, you see, that man is blessed. I was watching a video recently. Archbishop Margaret Idahosa was saying how after Archbishop Benson Idahosa died, I think there was just over 40,000 naira left in his account for her. Benson Idahosa University had just started. It was in its infancy. This was in 1998. Archbishop passed in 1998. For two years, Bishop Oyedepo was paying all the lecturers at that university. For 2 years, personally. And he has never mentioned it. The first time anybody will hear about it was when Archbishop Margaret Idahosa was talking about it. He has never mentioned it. Do you know what it means to be paying professors and doctors for 2 years? Sometimes he even comes, drops the money. He doesn't even see the woman of God and he just leaves. He wasn't doing it for the applause. He wasn't doing it for anything. You see, when you see that man and how blessed he is, you don't hate him or like him. God has blessed him. God has blessed him. And people don't know how much time and energy and resources those people have invested in the gospel. Kenneth Copeland has given out over 40 aircrafts to ministers and ministries in his lifetime. Over 40 aircrafts. He has lost track of bikes and cars that he's given out. Over 40 aircrafts for the purpose of the gospel. You see, when Jesus was the one that said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things that the Gentiles seek after will be added unto you." We are in a generation that vanity has taken over, and there are more and more voices, dissenting voices out there today saying, "Don't give your money to the church. You are giving your money to the pastor." I know we are wiser than that. I know we are smarter than that, because that is the voice of the devil. You know, that is the voice of the devil. Am I saying there are no pastors that are stealing church money? No, there are pastors that are stealing church money. There are lots of pastors that are stealing church money. But I've never given to any ministry thinking, "Oh, I am giving to the pastor." I have always given knowing that I am giving to God, and I am supporting the kingdom of God to grow. You see, and this is important that we do not lose track, because the Bible says that through prosperity shall my cities be spread abroad. The kingdom of God needs the financial impute for it to grow. Preaching the gospel is expensive. It is expensive. Whatever medium you choose to use, it is expensive. Okay, and so we must remain kingdom-minded in our spending. We must remain kingdom-minded. And again, you see what the scripture says, "Seek ye first. It didn't say seek ye the kingdom of God, or seek ye later, or seek ye thereafter. Mm-mm. Seek ye first. The New Living Translation says that you should seek it above all else. So again, God wants first place, and God wants to be given priority. And one of the ways we give God priority is by seeking first his kingdom. So one of the ways we honor God is by seeking first his kingdom. It's important we stay kingdom-minded in the things we do, the decisions we make, how we spend our money. We should never lose focus of that. It's funny that people go to clubs and in a night spend half a million naira, and nobody sees it as a big deal, because in the eyes of the world, you are getting value. What value are you getting from a club for your money when they sell drinks 10 times their worth? Nobody complains. Nobody says, "Oh, that drink is 25,000 naira out there. Why are you selling it for 200,000 naira in here?" Nobody complains. They are happy to do it. In fact, they even hail the people that do it. They put fireworks and all. Somebody may be wondering how I know all these things. I've been to a club, not to club. I've been to a club to work. I was a student then, and we had to go and record a particular artist called Bilal. He came from the US to South Africa. He's a Grammy nominated artist, Bilal. So a classmate brought the job and we had to go and record him while he was singing at that club. So I got to the club and I saw what club life was like, and I reaffirmed that even if I wasn't born again, I would not club because it's really not for me. The music is too loud for starters. It's disorienting. Anyway, that aside, you know, but people get ripped off at the clubs and you just go and drink the drink, very expensive, but nobody complains that the clubs are stealing from the people. No, they don't complain. But somebody goes to church and puts in an offering of 100,000 naira and they say, you are giving to the pastor, or these pastors are robbing you people. You see, it is the devil. We must learn to identify the voice of the devil. Please, I don't pastor a church, so I am not trying to protect my investment. Nobody gives me offerings. I don't care. I'm not trying to protect my investments. I am saying this is the voice of the devil. Trying to say, pastors are thieves. Oyedepo is taking church money. Do you know? You know, let me say this to us. You can verify what I'm about to say. You can go on Wikipedia, type Joyce Meyer. This is right there on the internet. There was a time the IRS was going after men of God in America, and then they came to Joyce Meyer and they said, you earn about $1 million annually. You are earning too much money. Your husband is earning about $400,000 annually. He's earning too much money. And she said, well, I'm a prolific writer. I sell books and I sell my teachings, and I don't even take royalties from them. I give all of it to the ministry. Okay, this is just the way of the ministry giving back to me. And they said, look, we don't care. We'd rather you took royalties from your books and from your tapes and from your conferences and slash your salary. So she said, no problem. She slashed her salary by 50%. But guess what? Her income increased 3 times when she started taking royalties from her books and from her tapes. You know, we don't appreciate the sacrifices that a lot of... Bishop Oyedepo said he has never taken a dime from any of the books that he has written. And that man has written over 60 books. Each of those books have sold over 1 million copies. Do the maths. And he has not taken a dime from them. He has not taken a dime from the messages that he preaches and they sell. All of that money goes like... Do you know what it takes to write a book? All right, his intellectual property, all of it, he's given to the ministry for the gospel, for the kingdom. And then people sit there and say, no, he should not fly a private jet. But all these other people, it's okay for them to fly private jets. You know, but God continues to bless these people because even if the world does not see it, he sees the investment that they make for the body of Christ, for the kingdom. And we need to have that same mindset. We need to be kingdom first mentality people, where we are thinking, how does this benefit the kingdom? If this thing is not going to profit the kingdom, I don't think I want to be a part of it. We need to begin to think that way. We need to prioritize the kingdom of God, for in so doing, we will honor God. Number three, and finally for tonight, we honor God through the people that God says we should honor. So if you want to respect a man, you respect somebody that the man says you should respect. So you can't say, I respect the governor, but disrespect his commissioner. If you respect the governor, you will respect the people that he has placed over you. It's as simple as that. Okay. And one of the ways we honor God is by honoring people God says we should honor. And tonight, quickly, we're going to look at two categories of people that God said we should honor. Number one, parents. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Now look at verse 3. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on earth. What did we define prosperity as last Monday? To do well. Prosperity doesn't just mean money. It means for life to be well with you, for things to go well. Academically, relationship, financially, health, every wise, okay? If you have a lot of money in your bank account and you don't have good relationships, you are not prosperous. If your health is not in order, you are not really prosperous. They say health is wealth, and it's not far from truth. Okay, so prosperity is not just having a fat bank account. It is to do well, to excel, to make progress, okay? And the Bible is saying here that if you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you. It's very plain. If you honor your parents, you will prosper. Sadly, we don't hear this a lot in the church today. We just hear, for you to prosper, give tithe, pay offering. And we think, I give tithes and I give offerings, so I am entitled to prosperity. No, you're not. I am sorry, I went ahead of myself. I wanted to read a scripture. Please forgive me. I wanted to read two scriptures, actually. So let's go back to the second point. I am sorry, I really ran ahead of myself. Let's go back to seeking the kingdom of God. Let's read Haggai chapter 1 and verse 4. It was all almost going to escape, but Haggai chapter 1 from verse 4. I want us to read something. This is God speaking to Haggai. He said, "Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much." Listen to this. "You have planted much, but harvest little." So you see, prosperity is not just about sowing. You can be sowing and still be broke. If you do not understand the principles of kingdom prosperity, you can be a giver and still be broke if you are giving wrongly. Now, God is saying here, this is what you have planted much, but harvest little. You eat but are not satisfied. You drink but are still thirsty. You put on clothes but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. Now go up onto the hills, bring down timber and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored. Can you see that? When you build my house, when you prioritize the kingdom, I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You hoped for rich harvests, but they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, while all of you are busy building your own fine houses. It's because of you that the heavens withhold the dew and the earth produces no crop. I have called for a drought on your fields and hills, a drought to wither the grain and grapes and olive trees and all your other crops, a drought to starve you and your livestock and to ruin everything you have worked so hard to get. Why is God doing all of this to them? Because they abandoned the kingdom. Now, please take note. I am not saying that this is the only way to prosper, but I am saying if we want kingdom prosperity, these are the principles that govern kingdom prosperity. There are cultists out there that are prosperous. Dangote is not born again. He's rich. Let's not call it prosperous, but he's rich because I can't call them prosperous because the Bible says, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" If you are not born again, it doesn't matter how much money you have. You are not doing well. You are not doing well. And then we know the story of David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, where David, conceived in his heart to build a temple for God. And we know how God blessed him just for thinking about it. He didn't do it, though, just for thinking about it. God came and said, I will establish your kingdom forever. Your son that is coming, I will not withdraw my mercy from him like I withdrew from Saul. You see, so taking the kingdom of God as a priority is something that God takes very seriously. And it is something that we also ought to take seriously if we want to prosper God's way. So, sorry for that, but I hope we got something out of that. So, back to the third point, honoring our parents. Remember I said earlier that when it says honor your parents, it's not saying greet them, "Good morning, sir. Good morning, ma'am." It actually means to give to them of our substance. Now let's look at something. Let's look at Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7 from verse 7. This mic should stay in one place. Mark 7, 7. Let's look at something very interesting. Mark chapter 7 and verse 7. It says, their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands of God. For you ignore God's law and substitute your own tradition. Then, he said, you skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold on to your own tradition. For instance, take note of this, everyone. For instance, Moses gave you this law from God. Honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you let them disregard their needy parents. And so you cancel the word of God in order to hand down your own tradition. And this is only one example among many others. Can you see this? Jesus is saying that taking what ought to be to your parents and giving it to God is wrong. That's what Jesus is saying. It's in red. What you are supposed to give to your parents, if you take it and give it to God, you are wrong. It doesn't honor God. So if we truly want to honor God, we will honor the people that God has said we should honor. And our parents, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, Moses said it, Jesus said it, Paul said it. These are like the three most important people when it comes to the history of Christianity. The three most important people, Moses, Jesus, Paul, the three of them said it unequivocally. They said it, same words, honor your father and your mother. So we cannot be mistaken about this. You can't sidestep it. You can't argue it away. You can't wish it away. You can't say, oh, my parents are not born again. The Bible did not say honor your parents if. No, it says honor your father and your mother. It doesn't matter if you think your mother is a witch or you think your father is a wizard. Honor them still. Your pastor can never replace your father. He could in terms of taking care of you and financially and looking after you and all of that stuff. I know there are lots of irresponsible fathers out there. That is the truth. There are lots of irresponsible fathers out there. But see, there is something about genetics. And there is... The Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And your blood is from your father and from your mother. You cannot undo it. Even the blood of Jesus will not undo it. As long as we are in this body. So please, we must not use Pentecostalism to water down certain things. We must not do that. It's good to give to our pastors, and we're going to talk about very soon. Let's talk about it very soon. It's good to give to your pastors, but your pastor, what you give to your pastor, even what you give to God, must not take the place of what you give to your parents. And don't say, oh, yeah, I, when I have money and I buy jets, I'll buy my mother aeroplane. No. Start from where you are. Okay, I know a lot of us, we have very good intentions for our parents. Yeah. See, ba, daddy, wait. I will have money in this life. I will spoil you. You see, we know we are going to live long, but we don't know how long we are going to live. All you have is now. Stop pushing it into the future. What you can do for them now, do for them now. Don't wait. What you can do for them now, do for them now. It can be as simple as recharge card. It can be as simple as buy very nice bread. Whatever you can afford, but make sure that something is constantly leaving you to your parents. I really cannot stress this enough. Okay, Temitayo said, if God the greatest could seek consent to have a man's soul, how come these village people, so to speak, just intrude the soul? I mean, it's not as if you have business with them, but you just notice things don't just seem right as a result of the evil force. I don't know if I made sense. Okay, this is a little bit off topic, but if I get into this right now, okay, but let me try to talk about it. first of all, Satan is a rogue, and he does not necessarily obey spiritual laws. God obeys spiritual laws. He sets the laws, and he will not violate his own laws. Satan and his agents, they sidestep those laws. So we need to understand that, first of all. Okay. Secondly, there are so many things that we do that gives Satan legal access into our lives. Covenants, either the ones that we entered by ourselves or the ones that our fathers or forefathers entered on our behalf. Disobedience, every time we disobey God, we have obeyed Satan, therefore making him our master, making it possible for him to be able to effect certain things in our lives. Okay, and then ignorance also opens access for the devil to be able to. So Satan is not a gentleman. When he sees an opportunity, he seizes it. And that is why, even though some people are born again, you know, village people can still do so many things to them because of either of these three things that I mentioned. But I can't really go into it tonight, to be honest. But I hope I answered your question a little bit. I know it's not as detailed, but I hope this helps you sleep better tonight. Finally, tonight, our time is far invested. So I said I was going to talk about two classes of people that God said we should honor. Number one, I talked about our parents. And let's look at the second one. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. 1 Timothy 5, 17. It says, elders who do their work well should be respected and paid well, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. Now let's look at another translation, shall we? 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Can you see this? The New Living Translation says they should be paid well. The King James says double honor. It calls it honor. So we see again the same principle. When it says honor, it's not talking about respect or admiration. It's talking about substance. It's talking about substance. So when the Bible says honor the Lord with your substance, okay, when it says if I be a father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? And he goes on to say what he meant by that honor. So honoring God has a lot to do with giving. Okay, so it says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. You see, God wants us to honor ministers of the gospel. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6, it says that they that teach you in the word of God, or let's read it, I don't want to misquote it. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Okay, so let me read from the New Living Translation. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Okay, so this, there's nothing wrong with giving to your pastors. Again, it's the voice of the devil. Those people saying, don't give to the church, don't give to men of God, blah, 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 blah. It's the voice of the devil because they are trying to prevent you from being blessed. God has said it very clearly. You see, he said, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you will prosper. There is a dimension of prosperity that comes as a result of believing and honoring his prophets. Let's not be mistaken. Let us not be mistaken. Let us not become so woke. All right? That, remember, I am saying there are so many other ways to get rich. But if you want to get kingdom prosperity, and when we talk about kingdom prosperity, we are not just talking of kingdom wealth, we are talking of being rich, but in your being rich, you are safe, you are happy, you have peace, you are secure, you have health. Okay, that is real prosperity. It's not having money and don't have peace. You can't sleep at night. A friend was telling me about a politician that cannot sleep more than 2 hours at a time. A northern politician, is a senator. And then he always wears a cap. He cannot remove that cap because his head is rotting. His head is rotting. They are maggots. That is what he put his hands inside. His head is rotting. He cannot remove that cap and he cannot sleep. But he has mad money. And people look at him and say, ha, see money, see money. A lot of these people, you don't know the torment that they go through constantly. Is that prosperity? So I am not, I mean, there are so many ways. Babalawo can make you rich. Freemason can make you rich. There are so many other places you can get. Yahweh Yahweh can make you rich. So when we talk about kingdom prosperity, we are not saying fat bank account. No, we are talking about an all-encompassing state of doing well. That is true prosperity. And that's what, these are the principles I am sharing with us. I have to keep reiterating this so we won't think, but there are other ways to make money. There are other ways to make money. That is the truth. I've given us some examples. There are so many other ways to make money, but that's not why we are here. So we should not listen to those people that say, don't give to the church, don't give to men of God. They already have money. Give to the poor. Look, the Bible is littered with scriptures about giving to the poor, and we are going to look into those things. There is a place for giving to the poor. There is the blessing that comes with giving to the poor. Okay? There is the blessing that comes with giving to the poor. Part of it is divine health. Okay? Part of it is divine health. But it cannot take the place of, it's just like what I said, that even giving to God cannot take the place of giving to our parents. It's the same way. Everything has its place. Everything has its proper place. And we begin to create problems and errors when we try to take one thing and replace it with another. Everything has its proper place. Honoring God has its place. Honoring our parents has its place. Honoring our men of God has its place. And if we want to enjoy God's best and God's fullness, then we will have to do it the way that he said we should do it. And these are simple scriptural principles. Now let's read a scripture. I told us that one of the benefits of helping the poor, this is not part of the teaching tonight, but I just want to show us, to let us know that there are different benefits for different things. Okay, let's look at Psalm 41 from verse 1. Psalm 41 from verse 1. It says, oh, the joys of those who are kind to the poor. The Lord rescues them when they are in trouble. The Lord protects them and keeps them alive. He gives them prosperity in the land and rescues them from their enemies. The Lord nurses them when they are sick and restores them to health. Can you see that? So a lot of, yes, it talks about he gives them prosperity in the land. That's again a total state of well-being. Okay, but you see, primarily this scripture in Psalm 41 is talking about protection. It's talking about long life. It's talking about health. It's talking about being rescued from enemies. These are some of the blessings of giving to the poor. So every kind of giving, there are different kinds of giving. However, you know, a lot of preachers have streamlined them to the ones that profit them. And that is unfortunate. But there are different kinds of giving. There's giving to our parents. There's giving to the men of God. There's giving to the church. There's giving to the poor. Okay, there are different kinds of giving. We give upward. We give downward. We give sideways. There are different kinds of giving. And each kind of giving has its own benefit. All right. And it's important that we, you know, we explore them and take maximum advantage of each and every one of them. Chogu posted Proverbs 19:17. Every time you give to the poor, you make a loan to the Lord. Don't worry, you'll be repaid in full for all the good you've done. Oh yes. There's great benefit, but you know, there's great benefit in giving to the poor. Giving of alms, it's a scriptural principle from the Old Testament. Jesus talked about it. Paul talked about it. The early church talked about it. You know, it's very important. It is vital. We cannot, you know, overemphasize it. However, Satan will be robbing any individual if he can make that person believe that giving to the poor is the only kind of giving that is important. And that, you see, a half-truth is as dangerous as a lie. And you know, you don't kill a dog by feeding it a bowl of poison. You give it a bowl of food. and then a little poison. The best lies are the lies that are sandwiched in truth. Then you don't know the difference. You don't know which is the poison. You don't know which is the food. Okay, and then they show you scriptures of how giving to the poor is given. And it's true. Those scriptures are true. But the other scriptures are also true. But they just leave those things out. You see, giving to the poor alone is not the only kind of giving that God has approved or that God has ordained. Each of these givings have their places. Each of them has its place. And exploring all of them and making the most of all of them. You know, it's just like what I said last week. If you are a student, for instance, you know, you have test one, test two, you have assignments, some courses, you have field trip, you have lab work, you have this and you have that. If you want to get the full score, you have to do well at every single phase. You are not just going to pass the course because you nailed your assignment or because you nailed a particular test. No, you have to do well at every aspect of that course for you to, you know, come out with a distinction. And that's what we are talking about here. Each of these principles cannot stand alone on their own. They have to be combined with other principles in order for them to work.